Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning. And man, it's going to be a great day. There's a real touch of God in here. And I really believe God's going to really speak to some people this morning. Give you some boldness, brand new kickback to your life, a little fresh vision for your relationships. And y'all look amazing. Look at your neighbor. Say he's talking about you. Look at your other neighbor, the one you weren't so sure about. Tell him he's talking about you too. And man, it's going to be awesome. And got some really exciting news that I want to share. These next 8 months around My City Church are going to be like vision, but it's going to be a whole lot less talking and a whole lot more doing. And we've got, man, big, massive changes coming to the life of our church. Leased buildings for our midweek stuff that we're going to have as a home, and, you know, brand new location for our central campus. Come on, somebody! Just locked in location for our second location. I can't wait to announce that and where that's going to be. Best venue in our city. And it's just, God's going to do so much during this year. And here's what I'm asking from you, is that you lean in. You lean in. I never want to be a person who woke up and go, wow, God moved. I watched it. I wasn't a part of it. I want to be in it. And between now and some of these big moves that we're going to do, we really got to alleviate some tension around our church. The room is jammed all the time, and I think before Snowmageddon, our 1115 had 280 people packed in here, and I think it that's not fire illegal. And so we're aware of the tension. So for a short time, I think about the span of 4 months, we are going to launch a fourth service until we get into new facilities, okay? So new service time starting April 7th is going to be 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5 p.m. And maybe you've been around here for a little while and you're not on a team. We could use you now to step up and find your place and get involved. And that's what next classes are all about. If you jump in this weekend, step one, by the time we launch the service, we'll have you on team. And we just, I'm just so excited for what God's doing. And God's not doing it just because of me or my wife. God's doing it because of amazing people like you who are serving, loving, giving, and being generous. Can we just celebrate what God's doing, man? So awesome. And in 2 weeks, next weekend, we'll wrap up this series. And then the following week, we're going to start a series, a three-week series all on vision, because I've got so much to try to explain and unpack. It's going to be an exciting time around here. I encourage you, don't miss those weekends, because things are going to be moving at the speed of God around here. And I don't know, I'm expecting that that's faster than light. So, but anyway, if you got your Bibles with me, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to continue in this series, Love on the Weekends, because I think we're all looking for how do we make love last longer than the weekend. And Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11 says this: "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, nor indeed can it be." Next verse, it says, "So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies," what? "Through his Spirit that dwells in you." Great passage of scripture drawing these great contrasts between two mindsets, the carnal-minded person and the spiritually-minded person. I want to read one more passage of scripture here found in Galatians chapter 5. And here's what it says, verse 22. It says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Such a great contrast between, I think, what God wants us to understand on how to function in relationships, but more importantly than that, how to find the person that actually functions correctly in relationships. And today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought, redefining sexy. Come on, somebody. Just say it out loud, sexy. There you go. You're just going to laugh. You're going to feel better today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you are in this place. God, I pray that you would speak to people today, that you would lead us, you would guide us. Lord God, that you'd bring clarity, Lord God, to how to be led by your Spirit, how to have successful relationships, Lord God, that we might find joy in the life abundantly that you promised. Lord, I pray, Lord God, if there's anybody in here today who's just a little discouraged, whether it's in their relationship or just in life in general, God, that their eyes would get back on you. Lord God, knowing that they're a son and a daughter of God, and they would leave here with hope today in their heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, if you love Jesus this morning, can we put our hands together for him? Come on. So I got a question for you. Besides 30 seconds ago, when's the last time that you used the word sexy? Yesterday. And all the wives are nudging their husbands right now. Like, hey, what's the deal here? You know, I think that word sexy, it kind of almost makes people wiggle a little bit. You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those that brings out maybe the junior high side of us a little bit more than it should. And I think it's a word that's potent with meaning in our culture. Like, you say the word sexy and it means something different to every single person. And not only that, it is so potent and so rich with meaning. I think it's really an underutilized word. You don't hear it a whole lot, but I think it's one of the most driving words in our culture today. People trying to be sexy. Let's look at people's Instagram. Lord, have mercy. If there can be, if you can see girls, they take the same exact picture over and over and over. And then all their friends is the same one. You know, it's this one. It's like just kind of right, you know what I mean? Like, and people, you know, whether we want to admit it or not, I think the world is really trying to figure out what this world means, how to function in it, and how to present ourselves in a way that we would perceive as sexy. I think as you even say it, I think the reason it makes people feel so uncomfortable is because we're quite uncomfortable with what we perceive to be sexy. We're uncomfortable with ourselves, inside of ourselves, about are we or aren't we, or should we or shouldn't we be, or is this something to attain, is this something not, is this something I should go on a diet for, is this something I should be in the gym for? And so because we're conflicted on the inside, I think that sometimes things that we genuinely desire but that we don't fully understand, we have a tendency to feel awkward about. And I just think this, I think the reason it's gotten so convoluted is because I think the term is changing all the time. It's changing all the time what it means. Just think about the 80s. Just think about some of the things that we thought were sexy in the 80s. I think we got some pictures up here. Give me that. Look at. I always get nervous doing this for the one person who still has the hairstyle. But we thought, you know, the big hair, you know, you had to use 14 cans of hairspray just to, you know, get it figured out. You know what I mean? How about this? How many remember this show? Okay, girls in here, who is a Zach Morris fan? Like, you had a semi crush. Who is an AC Slater fan? Some of you are like, oh my God, I just got really old in front of everybody. You know what I mean? But we think like some of these things that were kind of like heartthrobs and some of these things that were, let's go back another decade here. How about this guy? You know what I mean? Like, he was considered like a sex symbol. Happy days. How many remember? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What a day. I can't remember the rest. Moving all week with you. Whatever. So you're like, please stop singing. I will. But I just think, like, all the time these things are changing. How about just not only what we perceive to be, you know, sexy or good looking or whatever is always changing every decade, but how about the way we change? You know what I mean? Like the things that, how about this guy? Look at this guy. I don't know if you can see it, but this is young Bruce Willis. this is old Bruce Willis. We're just not going to comment. We're just going to keep on moving. How about this one here? How about this next one? The Arnold. You know what I mean? He's gotten too pumped up. Now he's very deflated. You know, like what we think is like attractive, it's shifting with our age. How about this one? Here, how about this one? Bring it back. I have, in no way, shape, or form, remotely anytime do we ever feel like we're sexy, but I thought it was self-deprecating humor of my blonde, bleach blonde hair there would be therapy for everybody, you know what I mean? I guess the reason I bring all this out is just to show, like, I think what we think is attractive, what the world says is sexy, good-looking, appealing, changes all the time. And I think it leads us into this constant state of going, what is my image supposed to be like? What am I actually looking for? I think we've taken this word and kind of lost the definition of it. Here's actually what the word means. It means desirable, attractive, or having appealing qualities. Now, I think the massive hang-up that we get into is that we look at that and we only adopt parts of it. When's the last time that, like, you just like felt like, man, on television, you just saw a show that was like presenting sex appeal or sexiness as inner qualities of integrity, character. We just don't see it. Why? Because that would actually take like real inner introspection. We'd actually have to look on the outside rather than just fixing up the inside. And I think here's the reality that I need everybody to understand. And I think this is what the Bible is so clear about. Man sets trends, but God defines reality. That man will set trends. There's going to be trends that come and go. But what God has to say about what real sexuality is like, what real love is like, what real relationships are like, what are those qualities that should be in place? God actually defines the reality. See, we can bounce from trend to trend, place to place, but we will find ourselves only constantly dissatisfied with our look, our image, and the person that we are pursuing. Because why? It's always shifting, always changing, because we haven't locked into God's reality. Here's some things that I think each one of us have to understand. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8. He starts to break down this passage of scripture going back and forth, and he's drawing this contrast between two different mindsets that we can think out of. He's talking about a carnal mindset and a spiritual mindset. And here's the fact that the Apostle Paul is putting down here. He needs you to understand this, that both of these mindsets live within you. That to go, oh man, I don't care what I look like or what I, you know, all this exterior stuff, that quite honestly is not honest, because you are built with a carnal mind. You are built to think about those kinds of things. But if we are followers of Jesus, we now have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, who has given us a brand new mind that is led by the Spirit of God. I think the question we have to ask is, who are we allowing to define what sexy means for us. Like, who are we allowing to define what sexy means for us? Is it our carnal mind? Is it the world? Is it what the world feeds into our carnal mind? Or is it our spiritual mind? I think if we can determine this, we will find some answers that actually make relationships work. Now, I want to break down some of these. The carnal mind, I think for Christians, when we hear the word carnal, it can kind of be like, oh no, I'm not carnal minded. I'm verily, verily say unto you, blessed and highly favored. You know what I mean? I'm only led by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what I mean? And I'm very, but really, I think we've made the carnal mind a very ugly thing. And rather than learning how to lead the carnal mind, how to set it in a brand new path, what we do is we act like it doesn't exist. That's the definition of religion, is to go, hey man, I've got real things going on in my head, real insecurities, real fear, real doubts, but if I was spiritual, I wouldn't have those things. So what I do is I try to ignore it, and here's the best way I could describe it. You ever sat on a beach ball in water? Have you ever done it? You got to push the beach ball under the water, and then it takes all of your energy to keep it under the water, because that beach ball is trying to get out from underneath you, and you're, everybody's like, what are you doing over there? Oh, nothing. You look really uncomfortable. Oh, nothing. What's that underneath you? Nothing, nothing, nothing at all, nothing at all. Is that a beach ball? No, I don't have beach ball. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, poop, it pops up. Everybody goes, ooh, that's ugly. Rather than understanding that God has, like, it's natural for you to have a carnal mind. What God doesn't want you to do is be led by it. Let me help define a little bit the carnal mind for you, okay? The carnal mind, the part of your mind that processes information through the five senses. Pretty simple. How many of you have one of those? Yeah, there you go. All of us. If not, we'll have to, you know, look into your brain. But the carnal mind, it's the part of our brain that processes with the five senses, which you can see, taste, touch, hear, and smell. See, your carnal mind is based on this earth. That's the best way that I can describe it. Your carnal mind responds to, it's cold outside, and I'm really tired of this. Your carnal mind responds to when you see somebody who's attractive and you go, okay, there is a God. That's what I said when I saw Angela. I walked in, I looked over there, I said, oh, you are so good to me. Oh, praise the Lord, you know? That's our carnal mind. It's the carnal part of us that looks what we hear, what we sense, what we touch, what we feel. The carnal mind says, hey, if it feels good, go with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's based on what it feels. If it makes you happy, do it. What's everybody else doing? Maybe I should follow what they do and what their advice is. The best way I can describe the carnal mind is there was these four guys. They were a plumber, a police officer, and a pastor. And they, which is normal, you know, those kind of people usually hang out together. And they were both sitting there, and they were having a conversation about what they actually thought was like a sexy woman looked like, or what a sexy woman was. And, you know, of course, the plumber was going, well, we won't talk about what the plumber said. And then it goes on to the pastor, and the pastor's like, well, you know, a woman of virtue, he's excraving all this kind of stuff. And then the police officer goes, one who's not getting in trouble all the time, and, you know, that's sexy. And then they all look at the politician, and they say, what do you think is sexy? And he goes, I don't know, whatever you guys think. If I could display the carnal mind at its worst, that's what it is. It has no sense of direction. It's only responding to stimulation that comes towards it. So what I see, what I hear, what I feel, what I touch, then I'm responding to that. It has no true north, so it's going to change as much as Arnold Schwarzenegger did. It's going to change as much as my blonde hair did. It's going to change throughout time based on what? Whatever is inspiring in the moment. It has no true north. Imagine building your relationships on a carnal mind. And we wonder why we have heartache and hurt and pain, because the whole thing is based on selfishness. It's based on what, how something makes me feel, how something make, you know, makes me, oh, it just makes me come alive. It just, it feels good. Well, my girlfriends have a boyfriend. Maybe I should get one too. It's responding to its situations rather than having integrity, character, and leadership that's setting a direction for its life. See, the spiritual mind is totally contrary to this. See, the spiritual mind is not fixated on things of earth. It's fixated on things of heaven. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says this, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is what? You could replace that with carnal. For what is seen is carnal. It's just, it's what we're going to respond to. It's what's coming at us, what is seen. But what is unseen is eternal. That God has put eternal things on planet Earth in a temporary world. There is heaven. That's why Jesus, when he prayed, said this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That our calling as spiritual people is to not have our minds on the things that we what see or the things that we will respond to, but the things that we've heard, seen, and experienced in the presence of God. That's the kingdom of God bringing it to earth. See, the spiritual mind focuses on things like this. And this is how you know when you're operating in a spiritual mind. The fruits of the Holy Spirit become very evident in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. See, these things, if we're honest with you, we know go completely contrary to our carnal mind. Because our carnal mind sees it and wants it. Our carnal mind feels it and responds to it. But these things are something that is coming from an eternal thing. That, in fact, we can't really experience love without the Holy Spirit. We can't really experience joy without the Holy Spirit. We can't really experience peace without the Holy Spirit. We can't even really experience patience in God's definition of patience without the help of the Holy Spirit. So the question that I always have is that which one of these minds is leading your life? Which one of these mindsets is defining what you believe in your heart of hearts? Not what you theoretically believe, not what you hoped you believe, but what you really believe in your heart, what it means to be a sexy individual. That, who are you allowing to define it? You know, I think if we were allowing the Spirit of God to define it, we'd have some very different definitions. We would not be the most popular people. We would probably not have a hit show like The Bachelor, but we would have something that actually really worked for people's lives that would bring wholeness and healing. Because I think things like this would pop up, that faithfulness is sexy. Like, faithfulness is sexy. Like, when's the last time you saw a reality show on television about people that got married when they were 20 and died together when they were 80? Just a life lived together being faithful. I think the reason we kind of end up backing off, like when we hear the word faithfulness, immediately in our head we don't go, oh, yeah, that's bringing sexy back right there. You know, that's not what pops into our head. It's not what comes to our mind. You know why I think that is for most people? Is because I think we've equated sex, sexiness, love, all those kind of things with passion. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, I want something that brings me alive. It's passionate. We're passionately in love. But what they're really saying is that what they want is they want something that's emotional. Because the reality is that it takes no passion whatsoever to respond with your carnal mind. It doesn't. It takes no passion. Here, let me illustrate this for you. Does it take passion to stay in bed on a cold day? Does it take passion to get up on that cold day, put on clothes, and go to the gym because you made a decision you're going to go to the gym? Which one takes more passion? But we have the devil redefining what passion is, and his passion is man, hey, faithfulness, that's boring. That doesn't require any passion. Like you hear these words, like, you should probably, you know, try out your spouse before you marry them. To make sure it's a good fit, because how do you know your passions won't change? How do you know desires won't change? And you see this where it's just like, hey, what real passion is, as far as the world is concerned, is that I feel it, do it. I'm passionate. But friends, can I tell you this? Faithfulness takes more passion than unfaithfulness does. Let me just read this to you here real quick. This definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness, directing your passion in one direction through purposeful choices. Unfaithfulness, undirected passion based on temporary feelings and emotions. Here's my question. Would you rather wake up next to somebody or wake up next to somebody who loves you every day? Would you rather have sex or be in love? I think there's a lot of people in our world right now that would answer, I'd rather have sex. Well, here's the question I would ask them. Would you rather have a faithful friend or a friend that stabs you in the back? Would you rather have a family that is committed to you or one that disowns you? See, the reality is deep in our hearts, we know faithfulness is sexy. We all desire it, we're all looking for it, but we've got so much noise coming out of our carnal mind that we can't let the Spirit of God lead us and say, you know what? I will not settle in a relationship unless he has integrity. And if he's not faithful in church, if he's not faithful to his friends, he ain't gonna be faithful to me. So I'm gonna be content with love and joy and peace and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and self-control. I'm gonna stay in my lane. I'm gonna stay in the Spirit of God rather than compromising over something carnal that is temporary, that will fleeting. Because you know what? I want faithfulness in my life because it's sexy. How about this? Honor is sexy. Honor is sexy. Honor is something in our culture that I think has totally been lost. If you don't believe me, any teachers in the room? Junior high school teachers, middle school teachers. Kelsey, one of our great directors here at our church, she's a teacher at a middle school, and she tells me some of these things, that these little people, up yours, I do, you know what I mean? Like just no sense of honor and respect. I think honor has been lost completely in our culture. You know, here's what honor means. It means to place a high value on something. So when we say we're gonna honor God, what does that mean? I'm gonna put such a high value on this. Husbands, you wanna know how to make your wife come alive with joy and passion for your relationship and love you? You know what? Before she ever shows honor to you, you place high value on her with your words, with your affirmation, with the way you serve, and you watch honor come back to you. We gotta place honor on one another. The Bible says this, Exodus chapter 20. This is the only command in the Ten Commandments that comes with a blessing. Honor your father and mother, that the days may be long with you, and the Lord will bless you and give you more. There's something about honor that actually ends up blessing ourselves. That's why the carnal mind can't understand it. So before you deserve something, I'm going to put it on you, understanding that I'm not trying to get something from you. I have something to give away. I can place honor on one another. Listen, in this room, if you're one of your highest values in your relationship life is not honor, you're gonna miss it. Here's what honor is. I respect her enough to wait. Because why? I also think faithfulness is sexy. And if I can't be faithful now, I end up dishonoring. And I literally create a perpetual cycle in my relationship. See, the reason why things like strip clubs and pornography, I know I'm being a little heavy right now. The reason these things exist in our culture is because of a lack of honor. You have women who don't have enough honor and respect in placing value on themselves. And then you have men who have no honor, no value placed on women. And you see these things tearing apart each other. Ladies in here, can I be dad for a moment? If he does not honor you, you get out of that thing. You get out of that thing. And, you know, make some good decisions because, man, if he doesn't place value on you, it's only a matter of time between the carnal mind. I'm not feeling it anymore. It's not passionate anymore. Feeling a little unfaithful, feeling a little, but hey, make sure honor is high because at the end of the day, honor. You ever had somebody place high value on you when you didn't deserve it? Nothing more like Jesus than honor. When I was dead in my sin, he made me alive in Christ. What's he saying? When I didn't deserve it, he said, you deserve it. How does that even make sense? Because what? He wasn't operating from what he could see, what he could hear, or what he could touch. He was operating out of what the Spirit of God says. He was calling things forth in our lives. See, honor is sexy, but I'll wrap up with this. The reality is that love, real love, that's what's sexy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says this, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I think if, you know what, when people have the word sexy so confused in our culture, you know what I think behind that is? This deep desire, this deep void inside of each one of us saying, I want to be loved and I want to love. I want that in my life. And so what we do is the devil's just a master of knowing how we're made. He just gets us to settle for cheaper version, temporary version, carnal version. And God's going, no. There's so much more for you than that. And the thing I love about this is that we begin to understand in our lives that if we're gonna make relationships work, we first have to understand that there is before us one who is faithful. There is one that showed honor to us when we did not deserve it. There is one who carried love to us when we had none, and his name is Jesus. What would happen in our world if the definition, and this is gonna like really mess with somebody if you have any religion in you. What happens if the definition, if the church was able to rise up and show a picture of Jesus as the faithful God who loves humanity, as the one who honors, when we dishonor him, he honors us. The one who loves and loves and loves. I think we should try to look at sexy through the lens of Jesus. If I was to put an answer on it, I don't think there is anybody more sexy than Jesus. And the problem is we have a hard time saying that out of our mouth because the definition in our carnal mindset is so broken. We have almost an impossible task of associating Jesus, fully righteous, full of grace, all-powerful, with the word sexy. What would happen, ladies, in your relationship if that was your view of sexy? Guys, what would happen in your world if that was your view of what sexy was for yourself? I'm a man of integrity. I'm a man of character. I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of patience. I'm a man of honor. I'm a man of prayer. I'm a man that gives rather than gets. I'm a man that sacrifices rather than takes. What would happen to our world? I think the world would look a whole lot more sexy. I think we've got to, as a church, redefine the word. I think we've got to re-ascribe it in our minds of what we believe about, what is attractive, what is appealing, what is desirable in our lives. I think if we got there, we would find a whole lot more clarity on how to have the story of our lives be we got married when we were 22 and we died together on, hopefully not a cold day like this, a warm rocking chair day together. And we have to go at the same time, okay? Because I would be a shell of a man without you, okay? But that's the goal. That's the prize. That's the thing that we all ought to ascribe. Don't let the devil steal from you by just feeding your carnal mind. It's easy. It's there. You can't get rid of it. All you have to do is acknowledge it and say, you know what, God, I'm going to let your spirit lead me. Why don't we stand to our feet?
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.